Hello and welcome to PHP Alive and Kicking, brought to you by PHP Architect and made better by our partners at Displace. More about them later. This is the podcast where we explore the latest developments in PHP and what it's like to earn a living in PHP today. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Page. I'm a developer at PHP Architect, and my co-host is a longtime contributor to our magazine and now team member, Chris.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. You?
Yeah, not bad.
Good, good. Yeah, I have to say our guests have already tried to put me off with
yep.
private chat that's going on behind the scenes, and we might share that later. But just to let you know, everyone know, this is a live recording. So if you head over to our Discord server, you can ask questions, and we'll try and post them to our guests today. Also, if you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe. That would be brilliant. That is youtube.com/@PHPArch. As I just mentioned, we produce a magazine, which we do have a discount code for people out there, Alive3, and that will give you the first 3 months free of an annual digital subscription. We also have a conference that we hold yearly, and the tickets for that are now on sale, PHP Tech 26 over in Chicago. Great conference. I know I'm biased, but I've always had fun when I go over there. Alongside that, this year we are running a JS Tech, which is one track I think we're going with, but the call for papers is currently open. So if you want to submit a talk about JavaScript, then please do. We're looking for as many talks as possible. We also have a swag store. Oh, I almost didn't say that word. Swag store. So head over there where we've got some t-shirts, hats, caps, mugs, bottles, all sorts. Okay, that is all our little things to tick off. I don't think I've missed anything, have I, Chris?
You haven't, although we have already started getting some comments.
Oh, I haven't got the chat. Because we've got not just one, but two. And now I've got to stop and read it. And you know how long it takes me to read one sentence.
this is Dan from Jump24, whose episode is actually coming out on Friday. Do we ask questions in Generate or a different channel? Well, this one's perfectly fine. And he also says, hi all, nice t-shirt you have there. Is this something from the merch store? Unfortunately, this one isn't. This is one of our internal ones, but there are similar ones on the store. There's quite a few PHP Arch ones on there.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not wearing it because Chris has got mine. So
I have.
I'm not going to get mine until the end of the week.
You can have yours on Friday.
Yes. Without further ado, we should introduce...
We guests, should, because we not only have one, but we have two guests today.
We do.
We have both Simon and Shane from Native PHP. We may have been trying to get this episode for way too long. We wanted this to be the first episode. But we finally got together. So how are you two doing? That's a good place to start. In a good place. So we always start with exactly the same question. How did you two get into PHP?
Who do you want to go first?
Ooh, I think Shane should go first.
Ooh, all right, I will. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us, first of all. That's a great question. How did I get into PHP? I started developing in 2012 or so. I actually did a lot of... I had a new family. My ex had two daughters from previous, and they were older, and I was thrust into this situation where I needed to make a lot of money, and I didn't really know how to. And I actually did door-to-door sales for quite a bit of time, for like 10 years. I used to lead teams of commission-only sales, right? And sales is up and down, but I was using my dad's truck at the time. The head gasket blew, and I just had no way to get to work anymore. So he took me to the side one day that day, and he was like, hey, can you copy and paste? And I said, yeah, I can copy and paste. He had a project. He's been a developer since the 70s. He started a long time ago. He actually started in the Navy in 1974, I think. he's a .NET, ASP, you know, that whole other world of things. But he got me kind of into programming. And I could see very early on, there was a big hype around WordPress. And I kept bringing it up to him. I knew nothing, that I didn't know one language versus another at all, you know. And I was like, you know, we should do WordPress. We should learn WordPress. There's a lot of business in WordPress. There's a huge market for WordPress. And he just didn't see it. His client that he had ended up going bankrupt. And I could see that coming about 6 months ahead. And I started just dabbling and learning some WordPress stuff to the point where I was looking at, there was a website called Tweaky, and then they rebranded to Elto, and then they got bought by GoDaddy. But it was essentially like you could sign up as a developer and you could get paid $40 per tweak is what it was, right? They determined what a tweak was, but I knew nothing how to do anything inside of WordPress or PHP. I had no idea, what is this decimal doing next to an equal sign? What does that even mean? So it was kind of like I signed up and they asked me to do things I had no idea how to do. And I just figured things out little by little and started building my own custom plugins and themes. And then someone told me about Laravel, maybe a year, within a year later or so. And I remember Googling what is OOP? How do you do OOP, object oriented, right? In PHP. And so I had my own custom, I guess you can call it a framework. It was just a bunch of includes all over the place, really. And I got into Laravel, and that really made a lot of sense to me. And I just kind of stayed with that ever since then.
Nice. So that's what, 13 years?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, something like that.
And how about you, Simon?
Not too different. I mean, I didn't end up with a family all of a sudden and have to provide for them, but actually, I've been programming in PHP for coming up to like 22, 23 years, something like that, which is kind of crazy now I think about it. But I didn't used to be this gray. I think that's because of PHP, or maybe it's because of Shane. I don't know. I think I had more color in my hair this time last year. So
I had hair this time last year.
Oh, snap. Yeah. So I was just like, I was working for a company. I was like 18. I came out of school. I didn't go into college or university. I started working in IT support. And this company that I was working for, they were using like connected systems. They had servers in a room in the office that I was in, and they had sites throughout the UK, and they were like running an IBM AIX server, and they were ISDN lining terminal service on top of that, so that all of the sites throughout the UK, which there was like over 100 depots, could connect to this Unix basically interface and use a text UI to input data into their account system, which was running on that server. And I was just like, we've got web browsers. The internet's a thing. Like, this just feels completely ass backwards, basically. I just want, like, we should be able to do this way, way better. And they were paying like tens of thousands of pounds a month to have just the rights to use that service and the company that supported them and all of that. And I was just like, man, there's so much money to be made in this industry. And so it was like, while I'm working in that job, I just went and bought books about programming and how to write websites and all of that. And one of those books was PHP. I think it was PHP 5, although that had probably just come out. I ended up starting with PHP 4. And like MySQL 5, you know, it was like the two fives together, and it did cover a little bit of OOP, you know, and I was like, oh, so I don't know what this is. Completely ignored those chapters. And then within a few months of just like messing around in Notepad, saving files and trying to figure out how to make Apache work on my terrible Windows laptop at the time, I'd kind of got enough dumb luck confidence to go and try and get a job in the industry. You know, it's like, I know how to do this now. Let's just go and get work. So that's what I did. And I proceeded to go and get a job doing ASP.NET. I'm trying to convince the guy who ran that business, like, you should use PHP for this. It's way better, which was a terrible idea.
See, I've just got this image now of you frantically Googling everything every time his back was turned.
Right. And that was, so I got really good at doing Google, which was a thing that people used to do as programmers, you know, like you used to Google stuff. Gosh, I can't believe that in my career that's got come in and gone out of fashion already. But yeah, and I've just been doing PHP ever since. And then so I built my own framework, realized that that was really difficult and should never be done, and then used somebody else's framework instead, which was Laravel, and after many others, and have stuck with that. So I've been working with Laravel basically ever since then. So it's like 13 years.
So yeah, I mean, cool. I don't think many of us that were around in PHP 5 days haven't tried to build a framework, but you went one step further and you built a way of doing mobile apps in PHP for fun. Like, how did that even start?
There are lots of ways of starting this. The first one is like, we're crazy. That's how it starts. Basically because of that introduction to programming is kind of via the web, you know, like doing PHP, doing it over web browsers and that kind of thing, managing servers, setting up databases, blah, blah, blah. I kind of got into this place, me personally, I got into this place where I was like, I know how to build applications now. Like, they are applications, right? They're not just, it's not just a bunch of scripts tied together. And they're robust and they're reliable. And I want to use the skills that I have now to go and build applications that live on people's computers and phones. And I don't understand why PHP isn't capable of that or can't be capable of that, and why I can't use things like HTML, CSS, and JavaScript to build, you know, these robust solutions, which I build for the web from a server, to do the same thing when it's just like all packaged up in one little bundle and, you know, runs on the person's device. So yeah, crazy enough to actually try and give that a go. And that's kind of how it started a few years ago.
And it ended up being an extension on PHP directly natively talking to the phone, which is, that's incredible to think that somebody just went, I'm going to make this happen, and then actually did it.
You can just do things.
I know. It's like somebody keeps saying that, Simon. I don't know who that could be. So, Mike, do you reckon these are the two people that may actually be able to make my dream happen? A PHP-driven fridge.
I was going to say, I hope not.
he's been banging on about that one.
I just want to do a PHP-driven fridge because it's possible, and I don't have time to find a fridge that I can program.
I'll tell you, I have visions in my mind of the first time I turn on my truck and the Laravel home screen pops up on the dash. I really do. Like, I know that sounds like very far-fetched, but it really isn't. I know that it's not.
You should be scared if that's what happens when you start your truck, because then something's really wrong.
Well.
Oh, no.
It's possible. I mean, that's one thing. I knew nothing of this coming into it at all. And Simon shown me, kind of opened the doors, like, yeah, it's possible. This is kind of how we do it. Mm-hmm. And that was my intro to all of it. Actually, well, my intro, I guess, was a couple years ago. But yeah, it was just the excitement around native PHP. When I first heard these words together, I was in Nashville, I think it was, right? Mm-hmm. Marcel Posiot gave a talk. And I had back surgery in November that year, the you know, a couple months later, and was excruciatingly in pain. But I stuck around because I saw this and I was like, oh my God, someone figured out how to do mobile with Laravel. And that's what I thought. And it was desktop, but I was still excited. And I went home and started a YouTube channel and got like 1,000 subscribers the first week, I think, and just all based on native PHP stuff. I dropped the ball after that. I never really pursued much more into it just because I was now focused on the YouTube channel, I guess, a little distracted there, and the back surgery had something to do with that. But I met up with Simon the next Laracon last year, I guess, 24.
Yeah.
And we just kind of hit it off as friends and spoke a lot to each other. And
we chatted before then, I think, didn't we?
We did. Yeah. We still don't even remember exactly when we met. I think it could have been 30 years ago. Who knows? But no, I mean, we just liked each other and talking to each other. We both, I think, had also, we had done like a bunch of our own sort of startups or SaaS idea products that we tried on our own for years. I had a dozen of them. He had a dozen of them or so, or whatever the number was. And we both were at the point where we're like, I'm just done trying. I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out on having to do everything, the marketing, the support, the development, the, you know, everything that goes into being a one man show in a business. And I'm like, I want to do something, but I'm not ever going to do it alone. And this kind of, I wouldn't say fell into our laps, but we were both not really expecting it to be what it's become. And so we both are like, I'm so glad we had these conversations before this, right? Because we know we can trust each other. We know our mindsets are. I know like decisions I can make without him and vice versa, and what I shouldn't, what we need to consult with each other on, and all that kind of stuff. So it's very kind of intuitive and natural relationship. And the product is like, I remember the first couple of weeks of starting it, we just both had a very clear path forward of where we wanted to take it, the product, the business itself, and all that. We knew we were both very excited about, like, once we get to this part, then we can get to this. And then this becomes the ultimate. This is where we're going to eventually end up, you know? And I think we've had our own surprises along the way as well, too. Some new interesting developments that we're discovering, even today we're discovering, you know, this week, some new interesting fun things that, yeah, it keeps it very interesting, very fresh.
Yeah, but that's one of the things I love about Native PHP is that there's constantly something new. It's like every time I look at Twitter, it's like you've released three different things and it's I can't keep up.
I'm glad you feel that way, because it does not feel like that from this side. I feel like, honestly, even like this month, the last 6 weeks or so, I feel like I haven't done quite enough. And I think I even posted that in our own Discord, was like, we've been working and working on getting things out that we haven't spent much time in the marketing stuff. So now we're taking some of this week and next week to kind of trickle out some of these things that we've been doing. So yeah, gotta keep the marketing train has to always happen. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Even if there's nothing to show, which we always have something, we'll find something. There's plenty of content here, you know?
Well, you had a pretty exciting video come out this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see if I can share it, but I'll probably mess this up. So give me this. Here we go. If we share this. Yes. Here we go. It's going to work. So this video came out this morning, which is going to excite quite a few people that I know.
Yep.
So we got a QR reader. Is this out now, or is this coming out in the next release?
This will be in V2, which we're planning for. I think we're going to get it by the end of the month. Mm-hmm. So it's done. It's merged into our V2 branch. And if you have a max license, you technically can go and pull it down and play with it right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Guess what I'm doing after this episode?
Going to play with a QR code reader, probably.
We have Eric excited about the fact that we have QR codes. I have no idea why Eric might be excited about QR codes.
Oh, I have an idea why.
Oh, yeah, but we do, but...
And we have Duck Nizzle, who says he saw that video this morning, which, see, it's getting out there. Yeah. And then we also have quite a big question from Dan. Now, I don't know if we'll see it or
we won't. So we have to read it out.
So Dan has said, Simon and Shane, what is the biggest shift required in the way that you would typically develop a Laravel application to develop a native PHP application? For instance, your database, if you have an application that connects to a DB, would you just put your credentials for that DB into your environment that deploys into the app so that it connects remotely, or would you build a REST API for it? I've not had a chance to try anything with native PHP as of yet, but I'm a huge fan of both of your work, and it's honestly awesome to see what you're doing, especially with the V2 stuff.
Now, if you if you want a bit of time just to digest all that big, this is quite a bit there, we can go to our partners and give you a few minutes just to think about that if you want. And I can't find the right video now.
Just play the QR code video again. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I could do that. This is one. Right, we'll be back in a few minutes.
Thank you to our partners over at Displaced Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displaced is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displaced.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thank you, Displace.
That is the first time we said it in synchronization.
We're getting better.
We're getting better. It's only taken us 13 episodes to get there, but we're getting there.
13 episodes plus all the ones that we haven't released that we've pre-recorded.
Yeah, there is that.
Oh, wow. You guys have been busy.
We have got 23 episodes in the bag at different points.
The original plan was to have an episode every other week on a Tuesday, and we are now releasing two a week. We're doing the live one on a Tuesday, and then a Friday we're releasing pre-recorded ones that we couldn't sort of sync and do live with. So yeah,
we can just do things.
We came up with the idea, we pitched it to Eric and John, they were up for it, and then Chris just went off on one. And all of a sudden, I realize there's all these appointments in my calendar. That's a lot of recording to do, but we've done it. We'll have to slow down a little bit now. But so anyway, we should get back to Dan's question, which
we should.
Yeah. Let's see if that works.
There you go. You might be able to see most of that.
Take it away, Sam.
Well, I actually paid Dan to ask this question.
Coffee break.
So, fundamentally, the answer starts with a no. So you don't have to change the way that you would typically develop a Laravel application to use native PHP. And that's one of the main goals of the project, really, is that you come at it sort of idiomatically to what you already know. And that's kind of one of the main value adds of using this over something else, right? Mm-hmm. But Dan's right that you must not share database credentials inside of your application. You shouldn't distribute secure credentials like that with any application that you distribute to end users. Think of it in the same way as you don't distribute like API keys into your JavaScript application, because that code ends up on the client. And, you know, in theory, somebody could crack that open and start like abusing those keys. So you need to be very, very cautious about how you do stuff like that. And the same applies in a native application, because you're shipping the code to the client. Doesn't matter how many layers of obfuscation or compilation or encryption you might try and use, you're not going to ever fully protect a code base that's been shipped to the end user. Somebody's determined enough, they'll get into it. Mm. So you don't want to be shipping credentials with it. And that means you shouldn't really want to have your end user, you know, the client application connecting to your central database directly. So you would put it through an API. So you'd have an API layer that you can, you know, dish out credentials randomly or relatively often as the clients need. And then those credentials give them the level of access that's, you know, the minimum level of access that's required to the service. And that kind of proxies those requests through to your central database. But when you're talking about databases like this, there's a little bit of a wrinkle there, because we do also have a database on the local device. So you have SQLite or SQLite, however you want to say it.
You say SQLite?
Well, yeah.
That's awesome.
What else do you... No, I say SQLite. I was just trying to be silly. But the... Yeah, so you do, you have access to a database locally, and it's, you can use that in the same way that you use Laravel. And, but you, you would use any database from Laravel using Eloquent, or if that's your sort of preferred way of doing that. And that's really, really handy, but it's obviously not your central database. Mm. So it's like useful for just storing configurations and little bits of data about your app for that user on their device and accessing that in a, you know, a relational manner, because that's what it's there for. And that's really, you know, like you can use it for cache, you can use it for like large portions of data that need to be stored whilst they're maybe offline and then synced up later. And that's like then full, we're getting into distributed software and, you know, kind of wider systems thinking about how you build ecosystems that may are made up of like server-based applications and client-based applications, which I think a lot of us maybe in the PHP community haven't had to do very much of, because we've been, well, my application's on the server and, you know, a little bit of it gets shipped over the wire to the browser, and mostly I don't have to worry about it. So it does take a little bit of getting used to. Yeah, sorry, that is the very long version of the answer to that question. But I think aside of databases and kind of centralizing data access, mostly the big difference is you have access to all these features of the device, right, that you don't have when you're running PHP on a server, because it doesn't have a camera, it doesn't have, you know, a flashlight or vibration functions, etc. So, you know, we get all of that, and that's something to just kind of wrap your head around as well.
So in effect, you're sort of describing the older style of building, but in the new way of effectively an API on one side and a separate front end on another, except this front end has cool features, which is seriously useful.
Yeah, it's a front end that's not just JavaScript, which is a lot more powerful, in my opinion. I think you can do a lot more with PHP running on the device if you're familiar with PHP. So
another question thrown in there by Eric as well. Are there any specific optimizations you do to the PHP source for mobile?
Do you want to take it, Shane?
I mean, there's not a lot on the PHP side. I think that because, again, we start with Laravel, we looked at like what are the minimum extensions required for Laravel to boot, essentially, is, you know, give me the MVP. Let's just get this thing kind of working. And then if we need to or want to add things on for that, now that's not optimizations, I understand, but we're always looking at speed and size, and they're directly related on a device. The bigger the library ends up becoming, the slower it's going to be to process any single request for the most part. And there's different ways to handle that. We do have plans for, you know, like we don't have ZTS, we're not thread safe at the moment. So everything is on a single thread. So there are things we can do moving forward. But I think, I mean, one thing that came up for me, I got an email from Google saying one of the apps that I've got, I have until November 1st to get it aligned with 16 kilobyte page sizes. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is, but it's not just me. This is going to affect everybody using Android. So I had to recompile PHP for that. And the way we compile for Android is Android provides an NDK. It's a native development kit that you can compile PHP against the Android, you know, for the Android environment. And so the NDK I was using was maybe a year or two old. And so I had to upgrade to a different version, which required me to go back and change some of the ways that I was doing some of the other things. It brought in more functions that I had access to that I didn't need to implement on my own, and a lot of headache that went in with that, but I was able to get that out. I don't think really there probably is some room to optimize PHP there. But again, at the end of the day, I look at number one, is it working? That's very important. Are the majority of the things that not just me, but most users are expecting to work with PHP, are they working? And then what is the size and how slow are the responses or how fast are the responses? For me on, and I can rub Simon's face in this a little bit because I do shared embedded compilations. It's 6-7 megabytes at the end of the day for my whole PHP binary. So it's pretty small and it's pretty quick. As you can see, if you've built one or if you're playing with one at all, or if you've seen anybody else use one, there's really not much downtime in between things for speed or, you know, I think memory management might be a little bit. And a lot of that stuff is actually on the Android side. And people have asked us for, here's a good example, like iMagic. How do you pronounce it? Has anybody ever realized, like, figured out how to pronounce it? Is it iMagic? Is it Image?
Imagi-CK.
Imagi-CK. Imagi-CK. If you want to store it in your SQLite database, you probably could figure that out. Anything. We got PHP running on an Android, right? And an iOS phone. But, you know, they've asked us for this, and it's like, could we figure that out? We could figure that out. Is it optional? Is it going to bloat? Or could we check the OS and see if it provides something that's already on the device that can function, do the same functionality and provide a nice API wrapper to those calls? So, you know, we're always looking at, as the architects in this, what's the right solution, not just the one that we're most familiar with.
Yeah. For me, the question is kind of ambiguous because, I mean, there have been some optimizations we've had to do. I'll say maybe it's not optimizations, it's more just changes, but to the PHP source code. It's like the C source code for PHP itself before we compile it for these platforms, particularly on iOS, because iOS doesn't allow certain things that are kind of typical on a server environment, like spinning up separate processes and that kind of thing. So we have to patch PHP in places to make it compilable for the platforms. But then, like, the other side to it could be, are we optimizing the userland PHP code, like your PHP code? You know, are we compiling or transpiling that in any way at the moment? And the answer to that is no. So the code that you write, that you like you would ship to your server, you know, is exactly what gets shipped onto the device. And that's quite cool in some respects because it means that what's on the device is changeable. You know, put it simply, like it can be updated without having to update the application itself via like an app store. And that's something we started exploring very early on, and we've done quite a bit of work to get to it, but it's not quite ready yet. But, you know, we want to be able to do things like over the air updates where you can actually ship essentially a new version of your PHP, your Laravel application, to all of your users, and they won't have to go, you know, like it will automatically go and check in the background and pull that down and update their application whilst they're using it, which then avoids the app store problem for like minor bug fixes and UI changes that you might want to do. You can do without having to deploy a whole new release through the App Store or the Play Store, which is really, really exciting stuff for, you know, and that's something that PHP sort of inherently enables just by being PHP, you know, being a scripting language. So, yeah, sorry that I derailed that away from the original question, but I think it was like really.
It was really a yes or no question if you look at it.
it's because we're not doing those kinds of optimizations that sort of stuff is possible. You know, we're not transpiling PHP into native code or anything like that, because that would shut the door to that kind of stuff. So
it's not off the table though.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some angles there that work.
It'd be interesting to see that as an option at some point. You can either have it scripted or compiled. That'd be an interesting place to go with it.
If there's one thing that I've learned in this last, God, I guess it's been a year, just about a year that since Simon started with the mobile side, anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is possible. You need a lot of caffeine and you have to hate your family and I'll be fine with them hating you. No, I'm just kidding.
That's it. Yeah.
But anything's possible. It's all doable. Yep.
I still can't get over the fact that we can just write code for a mobile name in a language that we all know and has been around for 30 years. It's incredible.
I think that's the biggest appeal. I mean, that's been the biggest appeal. There's a whole market then, right, of how many hundreds of thousands or millions of developers, right, that already know how to do this. And it's like, I've done talks before, the titles were, you're already a mobile developer, you just don't know it yet, you know, or let me show you how. And it's really the same language you're already doing. You do have to think about things a little bit differently. It's stateless, right? So it's not completely stateless. You can build apps that you're not using any API or any data outside of the device itself. And then you're completely in control of state on the device. So, but yeah, other than that, it's sweet. I like building apps now.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I saw anything sort of serious about this was, Shane, when you talked to Tech earlier this year. I'd heard of native PHP beforehand, didn't know much about it. I happened to be the one doing the live stream for that talk for you, and that I can't help but my mind just raced since I'm like, this is actually possible. We were talking slightly before the show with Simon that although I haven't actually delved in and tried to build any apps yet, I've got a long list of apps I want to build now. I just try and keep that quiet for my wife because, yeah, well, I'll never leave this room.
Like I said, anything's possible.
Yeah. But not only have you guys made it possible for people like us not to have to learn another language and frameworks to be able to build apps, you've made it almost like one click to be able to deploy those apps with Bifrost that you released a few months ago now.
2 months and 2 days.
Yeah.
Since my baby was born. Yep.
I was expecting you to go 2 months, 2 days, 3 hours, 12 seconds.
He's actually got a clock on his desk that just has been counting up since
I have an app for that. Hang on.
If only you knew a framework that would let you build that. Oh, wait.
3 hours, 12 seconds. You hit it right on the nose, Chris. Good job.
Wow.
So yeah. We have got a few more questions coming in.
We have.
I'm going to let Chris read them because, to be honest, Chris knows this. I'm dyslexic, so it'll take me half an hour to read one of these questions.
I want to hear Mike's version, though.
No, it's not.
I mean, I want to hear Mike's version now.
Not live. Not happening.
You have to do it with their accent, too. So,
I can't even do that.
No.
I can't. No, accents definitely not.
So the first one from Eric is the idea of allowing other PHP frameworks or generic PHP to run on mobile using native PHP on the radar. If so, is there a timeline for when we can expect this?
Yep. So I want to answer this one. I think, and I don't think we've really said it out loud. I think our hearts are in the same sort of direction. Yes, it's possible. Anything's possible, right? If you hate enough people. And there are plans to do, I think, at least Symfony and vanilla PHP. There's going to have to be some rules and guidelines around that because you can try to do something that is just, when you say vanilla, I mean, that's like you're opening up to the world. And it's like, how do I know where you want to boot from? And like all sorts of like boot processes you want to do. It is possible. I will say, our goal right now is to get the APIs, our backlog, well scratched before we attempt any of that because they'll transport immediately over to those. So there's no point. That's a pretty big assumption, but it should be fine. That should work that way. I just don't see a point in going right for that when we have all the work already in front of us to just get these things done because then you'll have another whole group of people asking for the same things, right? So I think that it can be done. It's just not a priority until we get a good chunk of what we have in front of us out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting there. We're getting there. V2 is going to be sweet.
I'd like to add a couple of things to it because, you know, we have talked about this quite a lot and
and we've thought about the different approaches. We have to, the first thing for us is like, it's got to make business sense, because this is a business, and you know, we're not, it's not just an open source project that is just trying to get this sort of stuff done in its spare time or our spare time. You know, I kind of made a decision about that before even Shane came and joined in with stuff, that for the mobile, I knew that there was enough value there to build a business around. Like, it was something that people would be prepared to pay for, because building apps is an industry, you know, like, you guys work at an agency, you know that people will come and pay you to do this stuff. So from my point of view, it was like, well, if we're making that easier and faster and cheaper for everybody, then, you know, like, it's only fair that we have a way to monetize that from the off. But even with that, you know, we have to then prioritize things that kind of keep that business going and paying our bills and all of that kind of stuff. But we built it in a way that it is just PHP under the hood. You know, it's not like it only works with Laravel. No, this is PHP. And it's got enough stuff that it will work with Laravel, and it can work with other stuff. So there's nothing really stopping anybody kind of cracking it open today and sort of figuring out, like, how are you booting up Laravel in here and just changing all of that? You know, like, you get the Swift code, you get the Kotlin code, you can read through it all if you know what you're doing, or you can use Claude code, you can kind of like reconfigure that and whatever. It just won't be part of the core of that solution at the moment. So that's, yeah, it's completely possible today to do it, but yeah, it's not something that we can justify. And the other reason is that technically those other, as Shane's alluded to, those other options, if you like, for doing this, they're very loose. You know, like, people build Symfony apps in all sorts of weird and wonderful ways. I've worked on quite a few Symfony apps over the years, and every single one of them has been completely different from the last one. And that's not a bad thing when it comes to, you know, just like the flexibility that Symfony provides, but it's a terrible thing when you're trying to build a project like this that it relies on things being in a known place. And building it to make it account for all of that flexibility is a job unto itself. Like, that would just be a whole stream of work just to be like, how are all of the different people building their Symfony apps? I don't care, and I don't want to care about that. I just, like, Laravel is a known, like, structure, and it yes, it's opinionated, and that makes it great for stuff like this, because I know that I can just take a Laravel app, as long as it's, you know, vanilla Laravel, and I can make it just work in this context. To me, there's huge value in doing things that way, not just in the context of native PHP, but also like within a business. You know, like, I want all of my apps to be the same structure so that any dev on the team can come in and just start cracking on. Like, they know what they're dealing with day one. And that's actually like one of the big like levers that I think Laravel's managed to pull over the last 15 years. So if Symfony and another tool, you know, like, let's say vanilla, it wouldn't be vanilla, it would still be a framework, right? But vanilla PHP that could work with native PHP was to come, it would just have to be very opinionated, I would say. You know, it's like, you can do it without a framework, but it looks like this. You have to have these folders and you have to have these files, so it looks like a framework. Or you do it in Symfony, but you do it with this Symfony starter kit or whatever it is that they've got that makes you do your applications like this, which I think would be antithetical to the way that some of those projects actually work and the way that people want to think about them.
I was going to say too, to add to that, maybe a little defensively or offensively, depending on what side of it you're looking at it, but why not just learn Laravel? It's PHP, and I promise it can do anything that any of the other frameworks or vanilla can do. So it may even just be easier for you to do it in this way to get the benefit of having mobile, at least for now.
So playing devil's advocate there, one of the reasons you might not want to do that is you might already have an app that is built in, say, Symfony to bring over.
I wouldn't do that anyway, even if you already have a Laravel application. And that's one thing that we kind of tell everybody. You can do it. You can have a, even if I have a Laravel app now, I think one of the first things I did just to test things out was I just cloned the native PHP site and just shoved it in and just ran like my Android start, whatever command. That is not the command at all. The one that I type 10 million times a day, install and run. And it just booted up, right? But we don't recommend that because you have to think about so many things in a different way anyway. So plus you're going to have a lot of assets that are going to bloat the app, potentially images and videos, possibly. I wouldn't say you just have your app and bring it over and run a command in your mobile now. You got to think about things differently anyway. So you may as well, right? Port your mind over and then port your code over.
That kind of answers one of the questions I had was... Because one of the ideas I have for an app is I've actually got it as a web app already that I've been building, and I want to have a mobile version of it. And basically what you're saying is I'd need to start from scratch and just...
Well, not start
from scratch, but I can't just clone and just run. I need to think about things. So that's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the one I think it is?
I don't know which one you're thinking of. it is a stress one, yeah.
On that one, change your database structure and you'll be fine.
Yeah, well, we don't need to. There's lots of things that need to change in that.
No, come on, bring it out. Let's hack. Put it up on the screen.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Some of that code I wrote about... So I've only been coding since about 2019. And some of that code I wrote in about 2020, and I now look back at it, and Chris has looked at it and goes, we need to change this. So I know there's a lot of work to be done in there before I start moving over to.
I think too, to add to that is, you know, when you start to think about things a little bit differently in this way, if you're API, if you're using API, you're not really relying much on the local database, you can start to think about how to shift some processing to your server externally as well.
Yeah.
So that's going to offload a lot of the workload on the device that could drain a battery or bloat the app or, I mean, a lot of different things. So again, there's a lot of things you want to think about and consider. Hit an API endpoint sometimes to, you know, make a PDF out of something and stream it back versus on device.
Mm. Yeah. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
So one of our other questions has come from another colleague of ours, Joe. When it comes to monetization, you're still beholden to the app stores for cutting them in for a slice, correct?
I think as much as anybody else would be. So they have rules, and they have recently been sued enough, some of them, to allow certain things. We don't have anything to do with that. And again, like, this is a paid product. People are like, oh, so I have to pay $100 to Apple every year plus pay for, it's like, that's not, I mean, we don't benefit from what Apple charges at all. Yeah. Simon, you'll have more details. You can explain this pretty well.
Well, I mean, first of all, a lot of this is wrapped up in the legals of those different platforms, like the companies that run them, that own them, have tried to create environments that make it so you have to play in their playpen and pay by their rules. And, you know, if you can avoid that, that's your opportunity, but it's also like your risk. You've got to figure that out between you and your lawyers or whoever else, you know. When you think about what's happening at the end of the day, we're still building native applications. They just happen to be able to run PHP inside them. So aside of that, nothing else really changes. That, you know, it's just you've now got the advantage that you can use PHP in that context, which lets you do things that you weren't able to do before.
Yeah. And I guess that answers the other half of his question. So is there any code changes required around the Laravel app? And only in the sense that you need to track it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's going to be the stuff that interacts with those native APIs to be able to trigger those functions. So you couldn't, again, to the point of like, can I take my Laravel app that already has integrations with Stripe and just ship it onto a phone? No, not really, because you're gonna need to ship things like API keys to Stripe to all of your end users. You definitely don't want to do that. Again, principle of don't ever ship keys like that to end users via an app, let alone the store's rules. You know, there's just like complications there that make that impractical. So, you know, the guidance there for that kind of stuff is either you direct users to a website and they subscribe through a website, which again, there are rules in the app stores about how you can do that, or whether you can't do that, or like what Apple will do if you break those rules and all that kind of thing. But essentially, like, you can still try and figure out how to guide them that way, or you use the in-app purchase tooling, which, okay, we don't have some of that just yet, but there will be, and then you pay the fees that, you know, we can't like escape hatch those things for you. But the goal really isn't about that. You know, the goal is to make the best end user experience, because the proof is in the pudding for the years that people have been doing apps, native apps this way, and kind of, you know, having access to the wallet and being able to do payments quickly through Face ID and Touch ID and whatever else, that it's better. It's a better solution because customers have less time to think about it. And they will pay more quickly, and they'll live with that decision more rapidly than they do when they have to go from their phone to their laptop to a website, fill in their card detail. You know, like, it's obvious that it's a better way, and so it's kind of worth the premium in a lot of cases. Yeah, and so we're just like, again, opening the door to all the PHP developers to be able to do that.
I think There's one large thing that we're wanting to tackle pretty soon, and that's background tasks and scheduling that are not built into native PHP yet. And I think the goal there is to eventually just tap into, and I'm speaking out of my, you know, we haven't thought entirely through this. We haven't explored it enough yet. But I mean, both of the devices have some sort of cron mechanism. And so if we can wire the scheduler, Laravel scheduler, to that. And also, like, you know, when some event happens and I have explored this a little bit, to direct traffic from some external process in the background, we have to boot PHP up in the app while it's being backgrounded in order to do any of the processing of your code. So there's some hurdles to jump there. We're looking forward to getting to that in the next few months, probably. But like you said, we have Bifrost. We have to go back and revisit that and bring in some of the tooling we want to add there and balance all that stuff out. So, yeah.
Yeah. So there's quite a lot that's coming soon, which is the fact that it's moving forward. And I know that we hear that a lot with different people of it's coming soon. But the thing is, everything that you've said is coming soon. I've seen movement on. And yes, okay, I do have the slight advantage of being in one of the early contributors groups on Discord. So I see it slightly before Mike does.
But I'm in there as well.
So, oh, are you? Okay,
yeah, cool. He's not that special.
Fight!
that happens after the stream.
that's on OnlyFans.
Yeah. The thing that I really like is that you are constantly talking to the people using this. Mm. And yes, okay, it is a business, and the main aim of this is so that you can actually have some income and, you know, eat. But the fact that you are treating this also like an open source project is you're interested in what the users are interested in.
For sure. Yeah. Mm. That's my mantra for this day in and day out is I want to compete directly against React Native and Flutter with this. There's no limitations, technical limitations keeping us from that point. Mm-hmm. The cool thing is, especially with something like Bifrost, there's also no reason we can't do React Native or Flutter builds with Bifrost, and they can't do native PHP. So, like, I'm looking at this as, like, I look at, like, I got the McDonald's app the other day, and I'm looking at, like, all the different animations and all the different stuff, and I'm like, how would I do this with PHP? How would I do this with native? And, like, to get to these goals where I, like, this opens the door for anybody can make literally any bespoke custom, you know, app that they could dream of, like, they're get handed a Figma design from somebody and they just go to town because they know how to do it. That's where I want to get to. And so the people that are using our app, they're giving us direct feedback. A lot of them have businesses, they have paying customers themselves that are, you know, asking for additional things to go in. And we absolutely care about that specifically. We don't want anyone to fall to the wayside or lose clients or money of their on their own because we're not doing something on our side. So if we can prioritize and get something in for somebody else, absolutely. That's the whole name of the game, I think.
Yeah. Mm. And I've seen you answer back to people and say, like, that's on the roadmap here. Mm. So you're already saying we've actually thought about what you're wanting anyway. And even that's huge that you're ahead of the curve on what people are going to ask you for.
I will just leave with this. I'll have a video out tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. I think every day this week I've got a video coming out. So there's more to come. There's more to come. So it's like the drop week, I guess. It's the tease week.
So we have three more questions, two of them on there and one of them from me. Firstly, we have Arthur who says, greetings from Brazil. That one wasn't actually a question, I misread. And secondly, OFFS wants to know why we go live when he's having dinner and doing the dishes.
We plan that.
Yeah. And it's specifically for you, Shane.
Yeah. We specifically plan that around you. Oh,
Definitely. And the question for me is, when are you giving me access to the video camera?
You have to stay tuned. It's on the roadmap. It is on the roadmap. I will say that.
Is it on the roadmap for B2?
Is it on? Let me just check the roadmap real quick. Hang on a second. I have an app for the roadmap.
Of course.
Do you mean this camera?
That's the one. That's the one. If I can get access to that, I have an app I want to build this week. Perfect.
So you got the sneak peek.
You've seen it here first.
You've seen
it here first.
There you go, folks. Yep. Yeah, that was a pretty highly requested one. The QR codes too, I think in-app purchasing, that's going to come a little bit later after the release. It'll still be part of the version 2. We just won't have that in time for the release. But yeah, there's a couple other ones coming too. Plus all the native stuff. I mean, if you know anything about anything, the real native stuff, that's where it's at.
Yeah. Yes. And just remind us, when's version 2 due to drop?
We are doing our best to align it with a Black Friday deal. So we really are trying to get it done by in the next couple of weeks. So
I've just seen Eric's question.
Oh.
he likes to troll us in the comments, or and John does as well, try and put us off while we're recording, especially when we're light or when we're live. So you're trying to bring out a Black Friday deal and hopefully drop in version 2. That's where we're at. Okay.
That's awesome.
That'd be awesome.
So that might actually
make me forget about my degree and just build apps. And
that's what you should do. Yeah, just forget about it.
Forget. You should mention React Native, because the module I'm doing for my degree is React Native. And I'm like, do I really have to do that? Please don't make me do this. Luckily, it's only for about 6 weeks. So it's just to get a taste of doing mobile development.
Do you know how many apps I can build in 6 weeks, man?
I'm sure you can build a lot. And I'll tell you what, I'll just get that bit out of the way and then I'll forget all about React Native, because I'll never use it, because I'll be using PHP to build my apps.
So you're doing it for 6 weeks, right?
About 6 weeks, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So 6-7 weeks. Yeah.
That's about 5 weeks, 6 days, 23 hours too long.
Yes, I know, but I can't turn in a native PHP project when they're actually I could try, but I think I might fail that module if I did that.
In 6 weeks with Claude Code, you could build it with native PHP and have a transpiler that backs it into a React app.
Yes,
however, but is that only if you've got like the pro subscription on $200?
Yeah. However, I'm doing it through the Open University that has a controlled condition place to write your code.
What I'm planning
to do is write some prompts for Claude, write in some apps. Whilst that's doing that, I'm then going to jump over and do my bit of uni work, and then I'm just going to jump back and forth. See how many apps I can build whilst doing a one native React one.
I think it's just a matter of time, and they'll have native PHP courses. Yeah. And
well, I'm going to write to them and tell them that that's what they should be teaching, not
React
Native.
I reckon there's this one guy we should introduce them to that will happily do the lessons, won't you, Shane?
By the way, the best conference in the Chicago area is whatever has that pizza from that place, Luminalti's. Oh my god, that was so good. PHP Tech for sure. And now JS Tech, is that what they're called? Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
JS Tech.
Yeah,
it's actually pronounced JST Eck, I think.
Yes, it's something. Yeah, we announced a couple of weeks ago that we're gonna have another
John announced and Eric found out on the show.
No, John announced and the whole team found out when we're watching the show. It's like, oh, okay. So we're gonna have a whole other conference running alongside. So it's in the same hotel, just another side room. It's probably the broom cupboard down the corridor that we'll just stick them in there.
So, Shane, I reckon your first talk that you submit to that should be how to build a React Native app in native PHP clearly better.
Well, actually, the thing with native PHP, sorry, I'm getting really technical now, but the thing you can do with native PHP that you can't do with React Native is just use React. And I guess, I know it's kind of the same, but yeah, you can use any like JavaScript framework on top of native PHP. So I think that's a good shout. You should do that talk at JST Eck. That would be great.
It's Java's Crypt.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. I'm sure I've seen some talks, React Native for a PHP developer. What you should do is a native PHP for a React Native developer. Go and hijack all their conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be lying if I said we haven't thought about this.
Yeah.
I honestly would go and do it. There's enough of us that would happily get on stage and do that.
Yep.
I'm sure there's loads and loads of people familiar with PHP who go to those things. They just, maybe it's not their primary thing, or maybe they're only at the conference because it's a React Native thing or whatever, but
maybe they're hiding under the tables.
They don't say to anybody that they do PHP.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Just imagine them opening a little purple box with PHP inscribed on the top.
And it's just like a little elephant that they pet.
Yes. Well, we are running slightly long, and I did promise Simon we'll try and finish off within the hour, but we failed at that promise. So sorry, Simon. That's
probably my bad. I do yak a lot.
I don't want you to waste away because you haven't had your dinner this evening yet.
I want some pizza now.
Thank you.
There's this really good one at a conference in Chicago, Shane.
Say again?
There's this really good pizza at a conference in Chicago we could go and get.
I plan to go get some.
Awesome. I think I'll be dead by then. Like, that's just going to take too long.
I would imagine they deliver DoorDash or something.
I think it'll be cold and I'll be dead.
Well, there's worse things.
So, Shane, you joining us in Tech next year?
I believe so. There's a couple other, there's some tentative things around that same time that I'm just waiting for, but my plan is to go for sure. I really had a great time. That was my first one. And I don't want that to be my last for sure.
No.
And I really want some Luminaltis.
I have a feeling that I know one of the things that's around there because I submitted to that one too.
Ah, Japan.
That's the one.
Yeah. My son's learning Japanese. So he's excited about that. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Cool. And Simon, what's it going to take to get you to come out and join us?
I don't know. How expensive are the flights?
That's a good point. I don't know.
See?
I just get given the tickets and I go over. But
lucky.
No, what you need to do is that now submit a JavaScript talk.
Yes.
And if it gets selected, we'll fly you over.
I don't want to talk about JavaScript.
No, but you don't have to. Talk about native PHP.
I don't know if I'm brave enough for that yet. Also, like, I'm curious, is JS Tech, is that running concurrently with PHP Tech?
Yeah. So it's kind of another track that's just going to be dedicated to JavaScript, but we're just giving it John's giving it a fancy name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it all works ticket wise. I can't really say because I don't know if John and Eric have worked everything out yet. But yeah, from what I understand, it's going to be another sort of a side track with the three tracks it will have for tech.
Is it going to be like a musical-esque standoff between the two groups of people?
There wasn't, but there is now.
it's interesting. It's kind of on. We have talked. I don't know if anything's going to. Oh God! We've got West Side Story going on now.
Exactly.
The modern West Side Story. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know all the details, and I'm guessing John's not watching. Now, so he would have jumped in the chat and given us a few more details, unless he doesn't know the details yet. But
so what we'll do is we'll let you know when we know.
Yes.
So what you're saying?
Just keep watching.
I just need to go to Chicago.
Yes.
Sometime in May. Turn
about
up
the 90s.
And just like experience it as it happens in real time.
Yeah.
And then I'll know for sure.
That is the best way. just turn up.
I went to Chicago and I got to have, you know, sushi with Shane. And there was also some good stuff.
I love sushi. It's so difficult to say. Sushi with Shane. Or Shanae, as I like to call him.
Or you can do what I did and fly all the way over there to meet someone that you now kind of talk to almost every single day, and they're only an hour drive away from you.
Wow.
That's how me and Chris met.
Yeah.
We live that close to each other, but we met at tech. We flew all the way out there just to meet.
So we're being asked for a link to the conference. You mean like that one? Or maybe that one?
I can't click it though.
Yeah, but that's just a video.
This
find a link then.
He's not very good with technology, is he?
He's a bit of a technophobe, is he?
Not a prerequisite.
You ain't gotta be smart to do the stuff we're doing.
You know what
it is. You watch we're gonna game night, one of the game nights, we're gonna have to get Shane up on the stage dancing now.
Yes.
try to stop me. I'll do it while Eric's talking.
Like, oh God, I can just imagine you just walking behind him.
Oh, man. Start moonwalking behind him, you know. I have to learn how to moonwalk now.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to tech next year now.
Yes.
Just on that.
Bring it. Cool.
Okay, we should start to wind up now because I'm getting hungry as well. So I'm sure Simon is. So we need to go and eat. So thank you very much for both of you for joining us today. It's been a long time in the making trying to pin you guys down to do this. So it's great that we've managed to do it. And I'm sure if we do something in the new year, you'll have 100 other things to talk about because it seems to be so much coming out. It's so exciting. And I've said a few times on the show that this is probably the one thing that really excites me about PHP at the moment, to be able to write on for almost any platform you can think of. It is so cool. We do say that PHP keeps moving forward, but this is one of the big jumps. There's a lot of cool things coming out all the time, but yeah, for me personally, like, this is one of the big jumps that's really exciting me. I keep telling people about it, so it's hyping up PHP. So thank you very much for first of all thinking of the idea, and then running with it and working so hard on doing what you're doing. So yeah, it's been great. So yeah, thank you very much. If you are not in our Discord channel, please come and join us. It's not just for during the live shows. You can hang out in the week and you can ask questions, talk, chat, post photos of your cat, whatever you want to do. But well, there's loads of people there. Shane, you're in our Discord as well. Simon, you in there?
Yep.
You're sort of in the background.
He's only there during the live stream.
Yeah. We've got PHP core contributors in there. We've got people that are making packages like these two. And so there's lots of brilliant guys and ladies and all sorts. Everyone's in there. So great conversations throughout the week. Head over to our YouTube channel. Please like and subscribe. That helps us out a lot. So please do that. Don't forget our magazine discount, Alive 3. I was waiting for it to come up on the screen to make sure I was saying it right. Alive 3 gives you the first 3 months of an annual digital subscription. Tickets for PHP Tech 26 are now on sale. Be great to see as many people over there as possible. Call for Papers for JS Tech is open. So please pop over there, submit your talks. We're looking forward to seeing what people come up with. And don't forget to head over to our store and check out the t-shirts and things over there. I did see something about Eric saying that he might try and make some polo tops available, which we don't have at the moment. So yeah, there you go. So you might be able to get a polo top that's lovely, modeled by Chris there. Yeah, so again, thank you very much everyone for watching, listening, however, and thank you very much Simon and Shane for giving us your time today. And
no, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
it's our pleasure. It's been great chatting to you and delving into all this native stuff you're working on. So yeah, I'm waiting for those videos every day. I'm going to check, see what video you got coming out. I'm excited.
Stay tuned.
So, yeah.
Now what I haven't done is cued the final outro. So hang on.
I'll just dance.
Yeah. We now just need to have some West Side Story music playing while they dance.
Show a video of Simon dancing, actually. Please don't. Please don't, he said.
Okay, well, thank you very much to you both, and hopefully we'll catch up soon. And thank you for everyone watching and listening. And we'll don't forget, we've got the Thursday night with Eric and John, and you'll hear all about the pains that we've gone through to try and select talks for tech
out of 545 options.
You'll hear all about that on that show. And then also we've got an episode coming out on Friday. Chris has decided to drink just some asking questions. Who we got on Friday?
We have Dan Nunes.
It's Dan Nunes is going to be on the show on Friday. So yeah, look forward to that. Well, thank you very much and we'll see you soon. Bye.